You're listening to All the Best. I'm Maddie McQueen. This week's episode is about some of our contributors' most vulnerable experiences. To even the playing field, here are some vulnerable things about me. I'm a Gemini. When I was 7, I peed myself in church while singing Joyful, Joyful. When my first kiss went in for a second go, I ran inside. And my credit card number is 95620024. A content warning. This first story contains swears and scatological references.
The people who know me know that I'm an open book. I am super fucking vulnerable all of the time and want to talk about everything. But I used to be a closed book. Until one night, I couldn't keep that book shut anymore. It was pried open through the power of diarrhea. I was at a house party for a friend's birthday. I was in a new relationship at the time with a lovely, sweet man called Aiden. I was quite tipsy and enjoying myself, having a conversation with him and a close friend of mine. We were all chatting and laughing. Then at one point, something clicked in my brain, and I started to think that the two of them were really hitting it off without me. I was like, oh my god, duh, they're in love. Of course he wants this beautiful, shiny-haired fox and not you, right? It was like game over for me. My crushed little heart was like parachuting out of my body. Now I know you're probably thinking, yikes, chill, are you all good, dude? And no, dude, clearly I was not all good. Something you should know about me is that I'm hypersensitive to rejection. Like, I'm always looking out for it, ready at any second for someone to hurt me. And so when I do feel rejected, my brain sort of shuts off and goes into a fight or flight mode, and I just react. So I reacted by drinking a lot. I think the formal scientific term is binge drinking. When I kept dodging various interactions with Aiden throughout the night, he eventually pulled me aside to ask me what was going on and find out what was upsetting me. But instead of trying to explain the complex cocktail of hurt and shame I was feeling, I chose to push it all down. Classic. You know how they say humans are like 98% water? I'm like that, but 98% emotions. My whole being is propelled by my feelings. Rational thoughts barely get a word in. So in the heat of the moment, my flight response won, and I called an Uber. As Aiden was begging me to just communicate with him, I flew into the car and slammed the door, staring at him with tears in my eyes as the car pulled away. It was super dramatic. So as I was sitting in this Uber, I started to feel really queasy. I had to ask him to pull over. I swear to you, I fell out of that car so fast and fell into the gutter and just vomited my soul out. It came in waves. I'd catch my breath and then it would come back again. The Uber waited there for ages. I had no idea what he was doing, but I wanted more than anything to tell him to leave so he didn't have to waste his time and so I could vomit in peace. Eventually, the Uber driver gets out and walks over to me, and with all the energy I could muster, I'm like, leave! And so he threw my bag out of the car and drove off. Then my good friend calls me from a festival, high and looking for a chat, but is met with my psycho screaming and crying as I try to explain what's just happened to me. He tells me, don't worry, I'll call your mom, and hangs up. So as I lay strewn across the grass behind the gutter, which I realize I haven't mentioned before where I am, so for the integrity of the story and for anybody who's familiar, it's at the bottom of Norton Street in Leichhardt, opposite a beautiful Italian restaurant called Grappa, which I've been to before and really do recommend. I hear a car pull up next to me. It's Mum. Oh my God, what have you done? I was so relieved I started crying and I kept asking her if she still loved me. In her disappointment and frustration, she urged me to get into the car so she could take me home. But I was too sick to move, so she just had to watch as my poor, limp body convulsed each time I coughed up this awful, deep bile into the grass. After a little while, just as I was slowly getting prepared to make the move to the car, I felt a sudden pang in my stomach. Something was coming, and it was coming fast. Mom. It dawned on her what was about to happen. Don't you fucking dare! But it was too late. The train had already left the station, I shuffled my way down into the gutter, pulled my panties aside, and began to shit. I shot liquid diarrhea out of my ass into a gutter on Norton Street at 2 a.m. in front of the proud woman who birthed me and raised me to do better. So the next day, I spent recovering. I got my punishment and paid my dues. When I finally had the energy to shower the shame off and move again, I remember asking my mum if I could tell Aiden or even anyone about what I'd done. Mum was adamant that I could never tell a soul about what had happened, especially not Aiden. But the more I thought I was supposed to hide it, the more I wanted to challenge that notion. What's the worst that could happen? How could I just live my life pretending that never happened? How could I possibly look someone in the eyes as they ask me, "Hey dude, like how are things with you?" and be like, "Oh yeah man, like things are good, not much to report here," when actually it should be less than 24 hours ago I shat in the street. That is what is up with me. I realized that I didn't want to go my whole life keeping a secret like that. I didn't want to be ashamed. So I decided to tell Aiden. And guess what? He proposed. No, of course he didn't propose. We did break up, but it wasn't because I shit myself. And that's a beautiful thing.
That story was produced by Concetta Caristo. The supervising producer was Ryan Pemberton. Transitioning genders was an out-of-body experience for Samuel. In our next story, he navigates social cues, revisits childhood memories, and tries to feel a sense of ease in his body.
So coming out as transgender as an adult and transitioning in my 20s often feels like I was shoved into manhood when I was denied a boyhood. It doesn't feel natural to me to make that leap right away. To call myself a man when in fact I still need time to be a boy first. I didn't have the language to describe how I felt when I was younger, to know that I was transgender, to know who I could grow up to be. All those masculine social cues I missed, all those feminine mannerisms I had to unlearn in order just to blend back into a binary that I spent so many years trying to escape. It doesn't feel natural to me to make that leap right away. It might take a while for me to be the way I'd always imagined me, to see myself and be comfortable with who I am, despite anyone telling me what kind of man I should be. I didn't want to admit this to myself or to anyone, but I still feel uncomfortable in my body after top surgery, after being on hormones for over a year now. I didn't want to admit this because I should be happy now. I should be comfortable by now. Right? Isn't that what I've been trying to do for these past 5 or so years? But I'm not. In so many ways, of course I am, but just not in the ways I expected or hoped to be. I'm still figuring out how to exist in this world now that these major events in my transition have happened. Now that society sees me and often treats me as male. But I wasn't socialized as male. It still doesn't come naturally to me. I had expected it would by now. I still occupy my body and navigate the world in my mind's eye of how I used to look and how I used to sound pre-transition, like a shadow that I can't shake. In that distressed mindset, the people are still staring at me, trying to figure out whether I'm a girl or a boy. And in spending so many years making my body invisible from myself and from others, I became comfortable with feeling uncomfortable. And now I'm spending my time healing from that internalized trauma and learning how to be visible again. It's alarming how long the mind can take to catch up to your body, even when you know you can be comfortable now, that you can breathe now, that there are no more chest binders, that the fight is over, that I've done the biggest, most life-changing things that I'll probably ever do in my life. But I need to relearn how to occupy my own body and I need to relearn how to be comfortable in it. I'd always struggled with body dysphoria before I knew what gender dysphoria was, or what being transgender meant to me. I was always hyper aware of feeling out of place in my body, not feeling connected to the space I occupied or the vessel that was meant to represent me. Even when I was very young, my mind could easily dissociate from my body and imagine a different embodiment of reality. I moved around a lot growing up and throughout high school, so I've lived in many different homes and had many different bedrooms. Sometimes I'd lay in my bed at night and picture myself back in another bedroom of mine, back in another house, from another time, back when I had another body, just to escape that current body and feelings of deep discomfort and distress about how it felt in relation to my gender. To temporarily exist in a memory of a body before it changed, or imagine a future body where I didn't feel so uncomfortable. I would also dissociate looking in the mirror, picturing how I wished my body looked after I started testosterone and after I had top surgery. And then one day, it happened. After so many years of waiting, the waiting was finally over. I know it was a gradual change, but there were moments where I'd do a double take or look in the mirror for a bit longer. And I remember wishing or imagining to look like this years ago. And that's who I am now. There's something so strange and so surreal about wanting something so desperately to happen for so long that when it finally does happen, you don't know what to do with yourself. And I'm suddenly faced with the, well, now what? But it does feel like I've crossed over this dark barrier in my mind. And there's this sudden radio silence. After so many years of having nonstop thoughts and feelings of distress and discomfort, it's suddenly quiet. This is the first time in the longest time that I've felt a sense of ease being in my own body. It still feels numb to know that this flat chest is finally here. This deeper voice is finally here. These changes that no one can take away from me because they're a core part of my being now. It's emotionally surreal to see myself for the first time every day, to no longer have to imagine a different self or a different body in a different reality from a different time. But I need to take time with this new body, to take time to get to know it again and to relearn how to be comfortable.
That story was produced by Samuel Luke. Sound design and original composition by Suzanne Derry. It was recorded by Zasha Rosen at Read to Me, a live storytelling event in Sydney. You can find out more at readtome.net.au. You're listening to All the Best. I'm Maddie McQueen. All the Best is about training emerging Australian storytellers in the art of audio. If you want to be a part of the show, you can start by pitching to us from anywhere in Australia. We also have a team of wonderful supervising producers to help you. Visit allthebestradio.com and send us your pitch. In our next story, Hongnan opens up about being bullied and being a bully. Content warning, this story contains suicidal ideation and swear words.
I was 13. I rode bike to school every morning. Before I step out of my house, I always thought, it would be nice if I got killed in a car accident, so I don't need to go to school today. I was bullied by kids in my class. They threw waste paper at my head. They hit my books. They called me old lady. They said my voice is annoying. I was the top student in my school. I was nerdy, wearing glasses, shy, with a touch of arrogance. At the moment I was standing on the street, cars were zooming by. Maybe just break an arm? How about a finger? Maybe a scratch? Okay, probably not today, I told myself. And I kept telling myself not today for 3 years. Hi, I'm Hongnan. I was bullied for 3 years from 13. Now I'm 24. Weirdly, I still remember my bully's name. But holding the grudge isn't healthy. So I talked to friends to share our experience of bullying. My friend Gloria was just finishing her last semester of high school.
After we finished the examination, I started searching our school BBS. It's like online social media sharing platform because I was bored. Then suddenly I saw a blog. It cursed me a lot, like being cocky, cheesy, like bully other people, which I didn't do. And then we tracked down who posted the blog. Eventually we found he was a boy like who continually bullied me 3 years when I was in high school. All the things started from our school chemistry teacher's daughter. The reason I can go to our high school because of my dad. So that's the main reason the boy bullied me like 3 years long.
This boy had bullied Gloria for 3 years. But now he was pretending that she was the bully.
But I still like kind of reached the level of our high school eventually. He still kept bullying me in online or offline school. He asked me to apologize to him. Also other students I kind of bullied before, which I didn't. So the whole thing is totally bullshit. Beep. But for my dad, I still did that because I don't want to let him see those kind of dirty words to me and him. I published my apology online, like a comment. I said, sorry I did such bad thing, but we all finished high school. We are ready to continue our life being university students. So can we just let it go?
Do you think like the bullying made you stronger?
Definitely. If I've never experienced that case, I won't be the me today. I will just continue maybe an overprotective life by my parents.
Gloria keeps saying those bullies are losers.
They feel like not being loved.
That's true. They are cowards, they are insecure. I know this not because I was a victim, but because I was also a bully. After those 3 miserable years, I finally escaped that shithole. I was now 16, at a new high school. New people, new life. Everything should be exciting, yet I was so scared. What if I become the target again? Would things go wrong if I don't act? Does anyone care about my feeling but my grades? How to make new friends? I acted in the stupidest way and became the person that I feared the most. I picked on a girl for 4 months. I gave her nicknames, called her fat, made fun of her when she talked to people. She was not fat. She was plain, quiet, the top student. She was the old me, a person who never fought back. I never said anything when they threw things at me. I never stood up and defended myself. I never told them to stop. Why didn't you fight back?
Why?
I wondered what her life is like now. I still wanted the people who hurt me to die. I don't know if she felt the same way. It's reasonable and understandable if she does after what I did to her. I told my friend Kara that I felt like I needed to target her so I wouldn't be the target. Kara told me that she was also a bully 20 years ago.
I went to an all-girls Catholic school all my life. And when you're in an environment that's filled with girls, it can be very toxic. The way that your relationships are formed are kind of skewed. And so when I was in the fourth grade, I was 10 years old. I was trying so hard to be cool. And I was with this group of three other girls. We were just in our rebellious phase and we were doing a lot of crazy shit. And I think one of those things that we did was we liked to pick on other girls in school. So we would choose girls who were, you know, not very strong, and we would pick on them, tease them. But one of our targets was my old best friend, and she was my best friend since we were 4 years old. She was like one of the more popular girls in the batch, and she was one of the smartest. And so we wanted the target that, I guess, held the same kind of power that we wanted to have. We would throw her school bag in the trash can. I would glue her books down so that the pages would get torn. And we would take her personal belongings and put it in the lost and found so that she couldn't find them. And she was just so embarrassed, and people were on her side. People were telling me that I was a horrible person, and I started to see it as well. So after that incident, our group broke up because I don't remember why, but maybe we just got sick of each other. And I ended up with another group of girls who were very kind-hearted and smart. And she was part of that group, and she found it in her heart to forgive me. So yeah, now we're still best friends. She actually told me that there was a point when she was crying every day to her mom. And her mom actually told her that she was gonna call my mom and complain about my attitude. And my best friend knew that my relationship with my mom is quite sensitive, and that if my mom found out, I would get in trouble. And she told her mom not to do it. And that's what moved me, is that you pick on this person for a year and you make her life hell, and yet she was selfless enough not to take revenge on you. And I think that's what made me realize, oh, you know, you can't do that to people, because people aren't malicious towards you, so why are you doing it against other people? That's what one of the things that really hit hard, because she knew my history. We grew up together, and she knew all my family problems, and I knew all her family problems. I used that information for bad, but she used that information for good. And so that for me was like, I think, a turning point, that, you know, if one person shows you that, you know, humanity can be nice, I guess you start living life seeing it that way as well. After bullying, nobody wanted to be my friend. And so I felt what it was like to be alone and to not be wanted.
Kara says it's really important to report, to tell someone that you are being hurt, to seek protection.
If you're alone and it feels alone, it can be very hard. But if you find one person who will listen to you, stand by you, and fight for you, I think it becomes easier to handle. Kids who get bullied are so afraid to do. They don't want to tell the teacher, or they don't want to tell their mom, or they don't want to tell their dad because they're afraid the bully will find more power. But I think that's the first thing you should do, is report it to somebody of authority. Because that's how things can be
controlled. I've never told anyone about the bullying, not even my parents, just as what Gloria did. If time reversed, I still wouldn't tell my parents about anything. I thought no one cared about me when I was 13. Those magic words, just ask for help. It's not so easy. I stopped bullying that girl. It was very hard to keep being a bad person. In the next semester, I went to a different class and started to make new friends. They are funny, happy, loving, and surprisingly to my 16-year-old self, they liked me. I finally find my shield. Maybe it's all about luck. If you have tough luck, you get bullied. If you are lucky enough, you get protection from your victim. No matter what, you just have to deal with it. Because ultimately, you are your own protector.
Hongnan Guo produced that story. Sarah Mashman was the supervising producer. If this story brought up anything for you, you can reach out for confidential support from Lifeline on 13 11 14 or online at lifeline.org.au. All the Best would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands on which we make these stories and pay our respects to elders past, present, and emerging. All the Best is made at FBI Radio in Sydney, in association with SYN and 3RRR in Melbourne. This episode was mixed and compiled by Alina Godwin and Anae Gallo. Our executive producer is Ryan Pemberton. Jordan Fennell is our Victorian State Coordinator. The All the Best Community Coordinators are Chloe Gillespie and Danny Stewart. Our SYN Community Coordinator is Erin Dick. Matilda Fay is our social media producer, and I'm your host, Maddie McQueen. Shining Bird composed our theme music, and Annie Hamilton designed the artwork. We're heard across Australia on the Community Radio Network, and we're made possible by the Community Broadcasting Foundation. You can find out more at cbf.org.au. You can find all of our episodes at allthebestradio.com. We're also a podcast, so subscribe.